Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Open Up Podcast.
I got it.
You are listening to the Open Up Podcast.
Okay. You are listening to the Open Up Podcast.
Hopefully you listened to the first of my extra two Open Up Podcasts with Songhoi Blues, an amazing Malian band. And that they're a part of your streaming sites now. I'm not going to reference a particular streaming site because they ain't paying me for this podcast. But if you've got that thing where you subscribe to music, then make sure you listen to the Songhoi Blues albums. Or maybe buy it. Go on. Songhoi Blues. Check them out. Anyway, I hope that was inspiring in some way. And maybe if it wasn't for you that you passed it on to someone that it was for, that's the whole point of being passionate about putting out independent speech and podcasts. So find something that you like and open up and let people know. Tweet about it, use the hashtag. It's very important. Thank you. Anyway, once again, I am blethering. The Scottish phrase for chatting too much. An ex-radio producer of mine told me that I blethered a lot, which I don't know whether that did great for my confidence, seeing as it's meant to be my career. Talking of blethering and enjoying brilliant people, especially fantastic women. Two women that I invited onto the bus who were wielding cider and looking excellently rock and roll dishevelled were Catelyn Moran and Sally Hughes, two writers who I know and have enjoyed the wisdom of for a while now. I managed to persuade them to go off the beaten track during their Glastonbury and come and hang out on the top of Dandelion the bus, who I mentioned in the last Open Up Extra with Songhoi. You know about Dandelion because the rest of the podcast series has been about Dandelion's travels and what Team Open means, all stemmed from the heart, my heart, aka the actual original book that I wrote. Anyway, we were in Glastonbury on the bus in the Green Futures Field, the area that is truly hippie and beautiful. And I invited them to come along, and they did. They'd been there for a bit, so they were a bit croaky and kind of like, yeah, we're in the festival spirit. And some people came on board, so we put out this chalkboard the day before saying that Catelyn and Sally will be there and I'll be hosting a Q&A. You know how I like to chat to people and interview them. And it was warm enough to sit on the top of the bus on the AstroTurf and have a bit of a giggle, really. And I wanted to speak to them about being a woman, because Catelyn wrote a pretty successful book about that, and what that means in terms of the future of the beauty industry. Little did I know that I would end up with my own beauty column in the Observer magazine. That's weird, isn't it? Which I did for a year, very up until very, very recently, called FaceTime. I don't know if you checked it out, it's all online, but me being any type of sort of soothsayer, a voice of authority on makeup was quite funny to me. I didn't push for that particular role, but I got asked to do it and I thought it'd be fun as a challenge. But I know that Sally Hughes is an expert and writes about beauty with this real kind of nuanced approach. She relates it to real life and that's why she's so popular. And she knows her stuff. Boy, does she know her stuff. I have the pleasure of knowing her personally and we have a lot of mutual friends who ask her advice all the time. because she really is an encyclopedia of kind of skin and all these noises. Technology is so bad for our mental health. Anyway, I wanted to chat to them, see if they're having a good time at the festival. And there were loads of like really cool young women that came and hung out with us as well. And it was a really great bonding experience. So I recorded it and here it is. The Extra Open Up, recorded in June 2017. I am so sorry it's taking me so long to put it out there. Special thanks to Io, my mate in Margate, who's given me a little bit of time to blether into his mic in his spare room. Anyway, here it is. If it you know, break it up if it's too long. Listen to some of it on your way to work and the rest on the way back from work. Make sure that you hashtag Team Open, that you share it, and that you get yourself down to Glastonbury, because hopefully I'm going to be there with Dandelion again. Come find us. Here it is. Sally Hughes and Catelyn Moran, who actually was a surprise. It was meant to be just Sally, in a festival field, hanging out with me and some cool peeps. Enjoy.
Hashtag Team Open!
So, this is very much an experiment. This is the first time that I have been at Glastonbury doing this. And I thought it would be really nice to try and do Q&As of people that I think have extraordinary brains. And some of them said yes. They said yes and brought plus ones. So thank you. So writer, extraordinary brain, feminist, you know, one of them superwoman types is here on the top deck of Dandelion at Glastonbury. Have you partied hard yet?
Yeah. Last night, what did we dance for about 3 hours solid? Non-stop, and then I almost had a heart attack because I'm middle-aged, so I suddenly remembered. But yeah, we had a great night, didn't we? Catelyn's here with her teenage daughter, so that was really fun.
Catelyn Moran, hi.
Hello, my darling, how are you all?
I'm all right, drinking the cider, trying to chat about the future. Does the two match?
Yeah, I mean, the only way I can get to the future is by drinking the entire rucksack of cider that I brought with me. I'm my own mobile bar, and this is absolutely how I'm moving through every hour. Basically, it's a can every hour. I've got a little alarm that goes off on my watch, and every hour on the hour I go, cider, cider me, and then I drink a cider.
There's lots of bonding around Dandelion. It really is just like a sort of weird bus of activity and inspiration. Have you seen anything that's been quite fun since you've been hanging out around Dandelion?
Well, I literally just found the most Catelyn Moran item ever downstairs. So downstairs we found she's actually nicked them. We just found a massive pair of sunglasses where the double O in boom is where your eyes go. And it's just, I just feel so right. I can't believe you don't already own these.
I find it very difficult to find sunglasses. I genuinely find these would actually go with everything I wear and every social occasion. These are genuinely the most sensible, useful, go-anywhere piece of clothing I've ever found in my life.
You don't need to wear makeup. You like, it covers so much of your face. I'm already quite shocked that I've seen her without them in the past.
So you guys are actual mates, there's no lie. And it's really nice that you guys have turned up, because even though it's like a little crew of us, I think it's really special because that is what Glastonbury's about. Like, you probably pay like quite a bit of money to see either of these two talk or be like in a big auditorium. You know, like, it's usually quite sort of proper, isn't it? But Glastonbury just throws all caution to the wind, and it is about real life, real conversations. And sometimes some of them change your life, whether it's for an hour or forever. And I wanted to talk to you today, Sally, about the beauty industry, as it is your expertise, and the future of the beauty industry. We're here in the Green Futures field, and I feel like we need to kind of explore an alternative future together. I'm here as a sort of novice, and I'm trying to work out things as much as everybody else. That was the whole process of writing my book. It was utilizing different voices and coming to certain conclusions or giving the reader the idea to do so. So where do you reckon the beauty industry is kind of at now? And it's a big question.
Well, you know, I'm in Glastonbury, so I obviously feel really, really optimistic about it, because I'm just surrounded by young girls just being completely free with their appearance. It's really inspiring. I've just seen so many girls walk past look completely different, or face covered in glitter, or some like crazy ass outfit on, or whatever it is. It just makes me so happy, because I think we're used to seeing the same thing on social media, all girls looking the same, all boys looking the same. And actually to be surrounded by so many young people just doing their own thing, it gives me hope that people are just gonna
be honest. What we've been doing, we've been looking at girls who've got really big bums in really tiny shorts and going, that looks brilliant. I've just been going, I want to put my nose between her bum cheeks and go, oh, you look amazing. We've just been loving big bums. You know, Yeah, because that is a political statement in a way. Like, you know, you're told that if you've got a bum that big, you should not wear a pair of cut-off shorts. And every girl who's done it, I want to go up to them and give them a medal and just go, you embody everything brilliant.
Yeah, we just saw this absolutely beautiful girl with a kind of big, fleshy, like, gorgeous body in a Baywatch costume. And our tongues were hanging out, frankly, weren't they?
And what was this about? The glitter boobs? Have you seen glitter boobs?
Boobs. I need a bra. I need an underwire. I'll be buried in an underwire. But there are girls walking around bare-chested, but jewelled, so they're wearing a kind of jewelled bra.
Presumably they're just waking up, kind of dipping their torsos in glue, and then dipping it into a vat of glitter, and going, boom, I'm done.
Yeah. That sounds so fun. In fact, that reminds me of the glitter pit, which I was inspired by at Bestival many years ago. I just heard some people, I went back to my campsite and heard some people having some really good fun, like hardcore giggles. So I was like, what's going on? I hope it's nothing illegal. Turned around, and it was a load of like friends, in swimwear actually, not naked, covering each other in baby oil. They had like a half inflated inflatable bed which they'd covered with loose glitter and were just sliding around it.
I'd have a go on that.
I'd have a go on them. Sounds very fruity. I'm interested.
I do actually have a poem dedicated to short shorts in my book, which is very short and simple, and it's not me necessarily saying that you shouldn't wear them, because I agree, oh my god, let everything shake and be, but they can sometimes be quite uncomfortable. You just need to know that.
I don't like any garment I have to pick out of my fanny. Do you know what I mean? But you know when you're like...
Yeah, well, I've got... You know the song Hungry Eyes? I've got a hungry vag. It will eat any eye. Hungry vag. That's my theme tune. So also, I'm on constant cystitis alert. Kind of like others have Achilles heels, I have an Achilles vagina. So at any point, basically at all times, the bacteria are trying to migrate from my back hole to my front hole and cause rampant cystitis. So... I can't provide a handy fabric bridge from like from front to back. They need to be separated. There needs to be a Berlin Wall around my perineum to keep my urethra safe. So I've already lowered the tone, haven't I? I'm really sorry.
It's allowed. I think it is interesting that you mentioned that you're really enjoying the moment and seeing people like embrace themselves, because there is something about a festival. There's particularly something about Glastonbury when it comes to beauty and aesthetic, where when you haven't washed for 3 nights, which I hardly have, to be honest, some sort of vanity just has to scrape away.
Yeah, and it's, you know, festivals are intrinsically a creative space, first of all, so people can be creative with how they look in the way that everyone around them is being creative with music, art, dance, whatever it is. So that's a really good thing. But also there's a massive degree of acceptance, I think, in a festival environment. Anything goes. Nobody's going to point and go, oh, what's she like? They'll either look on admiringly or not notice or whatever. It's really accepting, and so you can go wild. And you should, you know, men and women should have a space to do that. I think it's really important.
So the future of the beauty industry, what is it? I was trying to research it earlier in the back of my camper van, and I was like, I'm scared.
I genuinely feel quite positively about it. I have to feel positively about it, or else I'll go bananas and like quit my job and take everyone down with me, sort of thing. But genuinely, there are really good things happening. So I'm working on a really big story at the moment about kinder beauty, and the number of beauty brands who've been acquired by the mega brands like Estee Lauder, L'Oreal, and so on. In the past, that would have turned them completely corporate and, you know, as far as some people are concerned, slightly to the dark side. But what we're seeing now is those mega brands are kind of leaving those brands alone. So lots of those brands are vegan brands, for example. They are resolutely refusing to go into the Chinese market, where animal testing is absolutely a requirement of law. And companies like L'Oreal, Estée Lauder and LVMH are allowing those brands to do their thing and to remain cruelty-free and to remain vegan and so on. And I think that, you know, that's a product of those companies realising how important this is to young people now. This stuff really, really matters to young people. And you can't just go, well, it's all about the bucks in China anymore. You have to look at your market and go, actually, these kids are engaged, they're politically engaged. We know more than ever that these kids are politically engaged because of what's just happened in the election. And so they're being smart about it, and they're going, we can't put these women into a cookie cutter mold the way we have in the past. So I feel pretty good about it. I have to say, I feel all right about it.
That's good. And I think it's nice to think about it as a sort of rounded thing in terms of it like to be ethical can mean so many things. It's not just to sort of stand in an extreme sense on a soapbox, which I am totally all for. I'm an activist in my bones. But we can do it in everyday life. We can be ethical and we can make decisions like slowly and carefully in our sort of very mainstream commodified world. And it would really help if big brands can help us with that, because we love the beauty industry. I love the beauty industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly got its problems, but obviously I love it, or else I wouldn't remain in it. And there is that real sense that the kind of freaks and geeks are being allowed to run free. So Kat Von D, for example, I don't know if you know, Kat Von D is that amazing tattoo artist from California. She now has her own beauty brand within LVMH, which owns things like Dior and Guerlain and Givenchy and so on. And she is keeping it vegan. She's refusing to go into China. She is trying to make the whole brand ethical in the next couple of years. And I can think of a few examples like that. Hourglass is another one, where brands are just kind of going, no, this is the DNA of my brand, and however much investment I need and help with distribution I need to stay true to that. And it's a nod to the girls who follow those brands, who expect certain values.
You know, another political issue is money. And there's, again, some brands that you've been writing about recently, brands like The Ordinary and stuff, who are doing these really good products, but really, really cheaply. Because, I mean, so often beauty is something like if you can only afford, you know, and if you've got money, can you afford to be beautiful and have the best things? Mm. So that's a political issue too, providing stuff at a price point that everybody can afford.
And
that stuff works as well. Sally gave me some of it and I put it on. It's incredible. They've got like an AHA skin peel thing. It's like 10% fruit firm acids. It's just great. I mean, I'm actually 57, but like kind of the fruit peel has brought me down to looking about 42, but like I haven't had much sleep, and that's a good product.
Well done, babes. It's working.
I've been rocking for a couple of years.
That's actually quite on the money, because I was thinking about YouTube being high profile, but in a certain sense, you know, like I feel like I wouldn't see you all the time on the fronts of covers of magazines, but you have a huge following. Do you know? You know, like. What?
We're definitely not cover girls, although I have been on the cover of magazines.
You have. You have, but.
And I just had to turn one down last week.
Yes. She dusts her shoulder off.
The Pets at Home magazine had learnt that I got a puppy and said, would Kathleen and her puppy like to be on the
cover? So.
Have you?
I did the Dogs Trust magazine,
And I just think that there's a new type of, I mean, I hate the word influencer, that's such marketing jargon, but you know, like people that can be multifaceted and described as many things. And this is something that I often have to think about myself, because I was never going to be, as you mentioned, like cookie cutter is something that I used to describe, like a presenter. I'm not a presenter, really. I do present, but I also like, I broadcast and I've just tried writing and I like to communicate and I run a production company and I'm not on the front cover of Cosmo or whatever, you know? And it's a kind of, I think there's a new time for women, and there's a new time for types of women who do lots of things to be kind of like doing them.
Well, I mean, you know, we know all the bad things about the internet in terms of women, the kind of trolling, rape threats, death threats, kind of, you know, sort of men's rights activists getting on you. But that is one of the things that has changed. It is still a huge, limitless platform to which anybody can contribute. And I noticed there's been a rise of, like, I mean, me and Sally have sort of like roughly similar careers. It's kind of like you can be a communicator. You don't need to be doing like red carpet and kind of like, oh, my fabulous makeover in a Basque things. You can be someone who writes and communicates and gets across to an audience and find your audience and communicate with them in a way.
Whenever we go to anything, we see a red carpet, we peg it, don't we? Which is like, really inelegantly peg it with coats. We always wear coats.
Yes, leopard skin coats, obviously. Always in leopard skin coats. So.
This is a real thing as well, because I've seen it, and I'm like high five to my sisters. Like I have a lot of love and time for you, Lauren and Kathleen. Are all, you know, you are a sort of Charlie's Angels of just realness. Because when you do go to a big shiny event, it can be terrifying and awful, or it can be really fun if you stick with your crew and you know what you want from it, in the sense that no, it isn't just about that one picture on the red carpet that probably will end up on the Daily Mail the next day. It's about like hanging out, having fun, wearing what you want, catching up, you know?
I had a brilliant moment last week where Vogue.co.uk did a red carpet sum up. Did you see this, Kat?
Yes.
They did this red carpet sum up, and they said Sally Hughes at the Royal Academy summer party, and there I was in a cropped bolero tuxedo, a waistcoat and some slacks, and it was Victoria Pendleton. And they put my name on it. It's like, as if I'd wear a tuxedo, as if. And bless her, she looked absolutely beautiful. And, you know, it was flattering in one regard, but it got it completely wrong. It's completely implausible that I would be standing on the red carpet at the Royal Academy.
Well, the last event we went to, I ended up back at Gemma's hotel. And I don't even remember what happened in the last hour, but you were a fabulous host.
We listened to Carly Rae Jepsen in a glass.
That's right,
to amplify the sound from the iPhone.
That was my one piece of technology that I knew. If you're playing a song on an iPhone, if you put it in a pint glass, it makes it louder. It kind of amplifies it. Yeah, so I just kept ramming my iPhone and pressing repeat on Cut to the Feeling. And then, have you still got my jacket?
I gave it to Lauren. She's been wearing it in Camden.
She's stolen my jacket!
All right, keep it friendly, girls. Keep it friendly.
Okay, so if we were all to take a tip from what we've discussed, from the anecdotal, which is fun, to the actually progressive, how can we all think more consciously about making the beauty industry a bit of a better place? Like, what is the one thing that we can do?
I think vote with your wallet. I think if you don't believe in the values of a company, don't buy it. That's the only thing they care about. It's the only thing they will notice. Just don't spend the money. Spend the money where you think people deserve it, for sure. But also, I just think if you even, in terms of your own personal appearance, if you even remotely fancy trying something, I think you should try it. Because, well, you know, we're definitely all going to die. And I would really, really hate to be on my deathbed and think, oh, I really fancied wearing red, but I was a bit too scared, or whatever it is. If you even remotely fancy expressing yourself physically in a temporary and safe way, I absolutely think you should do it, because, I mean, it's joyful. It's joyful and it's creative. And that's what I would really like girls to do. And be nice to each other about each other's appearance. Like that, don't take the piss out of how other women look. Don't engage in the kind of journalism that goes, oh, what's she wearing? Just don't engage in it, and pay your friends compliments. Tell them they look excellent when they look excellent. Don't humiliate them. Don't notice when they've put on weight, lost weight. Just tell them every now and then that you think they look fantastic. That's it.
I think also really importantly, you've got to learn as a woman to take a compliment.
Oh,
like,
so
this generation are so politically active and so aware of sticking up for other people. All the teenage girls I know, they're marching for LGBT rights. They're campaigning for civil rights. And then you give them a compliment or try and be nice to them, and they will immediately run themselves down. It's absolutely automatic. To be a girl, you need, you know, a compliment is like cream or delicious fruit or chocolate. It is nutritious. It is good for you. It will put like a kind of good fat of ego on your bones and protect you. And you, whenever you have to train yourself, it's automatically, as a woman, if someone says you look great, babe, you go, I look awful, I haven't slept. You have to go, no, thank you so much, look awesome.
I mean, it's a kind of perfect storm. Women are really bad at taking compliments, and British people are really bad at taking compliments, so the intersectionality of British women just makes us a nightmare accepting compliments. But absolutely, that, accept it, then pay it forward, pay a compliment to the next person you think deserves one, kind of eat it up. I always think it's like medicine. You might not like the taste at first, but it will ultimately heal you.
I've got two teenage daughters, and I was trying to think sort of what the key thing that I wanted to tell them about sort of starting to wear makeup, and especially in this era of kind of like contouring, that kind of thing of like completely changing the shape of your face, and you know, and spending hours doing it. I know so many girls will get up an hour earlier to change the
I always admire
face.
That. I can't imagine that. I'm such.
Sleep. I'm always just like, hour of sleep, or you know, or taking like, you know, quarter of an inch off my chin, I will take the sleep. But I was trying to think what the most important thing was that I could tell them about beauty, because Sally and I both park our yachts in the same field when it comes to beauty, which, you know, it's fabulous. You should do it. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's not just about looking sexy and perfect. I think you don't even realise that that's what you have to do. I was like, looking jolly is amazing. Like, kind of think about, the makeup that I usually do, which is a lot of black eyeliner, brightly coloured lids, pale face, is to look like a puffin. You know, I'm not trying to look like a sexy lady. I'm trying to look like the bird, the puffin, with its black eyes. It's like, look like a puffin.
Yes.
Like, kind of, that's a great thing to want to look like, you know, and just, you know, gives you a bit more of a variance than looking like a Kardashian. That's awesome.
I know, because do you find that, like, if you do, you know, with Instagram being so kind of pertinent in this particular subject matter, that people are starting to look the same?
I do think that, but I also think it's a real mistake to think that Instagram is the world.
Yeah.
Definitely, if you looked on Instagram, you would think, God, all girls look the same these days. But you only have to walk around here or Brighton, where I live, or London or Cardiff or whatever it is, and you see loads of girls looking different. You know, you still see emo girls, goth girls, punk girls, steampunk girls. You know, there are those girls out there who look different, but Instagram does kind of portray quite a homogenized view of beauty. And it makes me sad. Like, I'll defend to the death your right to contour for 45 minutes if that's what you want, but I don't like an idea of a generation of girls thinking they have to kind of facet their heads like emeralds every morning. It's just like, I don't think that's particularly healthy. People, not everyone is meant to have a thin nose, high cheekbones, perfectly olive skin. You know, not everyone is meant to look like that. And I've always said there's nothing wrong with beauty. When beauty becomes problematic is when there's one vision of beauty.
Yeah. That's the key thing, and that's one of the big things in feminism, kind of like, it's just about nothing that anyone's doing is wrong. There's not a single look that is wrong that you can pick on and go, that's a bad kind of woman, you know, that's slutty or that's too glamorous or whatever it is. It's just about increasing the lexicon. It's not about stopping those girls doing something and lecturing them and saying you must change. It's making sure that all the other girls get the same amount of space.
Yeah, you know, it can't just be about thin white girls with high cheekbones and thin noses. It can't be that. I mean, those girls are beautiful. They're beautiful and I celebrate them same as everybody else. But there cannot be one thing. There cannot be one thing, because that'll kill us all.
One of the things that I like to do as a sort of practical tip on that, talking about sort of tribes and subculture, I know that we are all mixes and blends and we're lovely smoothies these days, which I enjoy a lot. I reference from lots of different things, but sometimes I'll just immerse myself in a geeky manner into the past, because it's just so fun sometimes. When you hit the nail on the head of a certain subculture and you learn about something so specific or beautiful or cool before the internet, it is really, really exciting. So, like, you know, punk women of punk in the 70s, yeah. I found them like later in my life, you know, but like I didn't follow the punk movement when I was a teenager. It's only in my late 20s that I started to learn about people like Polystyrene and and the Slits, yeah, and met Viv Albertine, and just like, once you start to scratch the surface, you just like find out about these incredible, fearless, brave, but still feminine, just interesting, intellectual, awesome activist women.
But this is what's so great about being a woman. I mean, genuinely, I feel sorry for men. I mean, they've got David Bowie, yes, which is quite an amazing thing, but I've also got David Bowie. But on top of that, your dressing up box as a woman, you have all these incredible, incredible looks, past and present. You can just kind of dip in. Like, some days I want to do like a bit of a Ronnie Spector, and some days I want to look like Marianne Faithfull. You know, some days I want to do a bit of a Liz Taylor. And all of those things, I feel really privileged to have them at my fingertips. I think it's kind of boring to be a man. What are you going to do? Have a beard? Not have a beard? That's kind of it.
Yeah, men just wake up, their name's Simon, they put some trousers on. That's the end of the invention for that day.
Yeah. One of the things that I often say to you, Sally, we've talked about this before, is that I think that there needs to be as encouragement for the movement of men to like be able to go a little bit more.
Do you know, a man with the boho to wear eyeliner, I mean, I dig it. Like, yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I mean, it's kind of sexy.
I remember interviewing Zandra Rhodes, a fashion designer. She's got bright pink hair. If you haven't ever Google imaged her, do it right now if you're listening. And she's just brilliant, again, from the 70s. And she does really brilliant prints. And she was like, oh, I remember my boyfriend in 1975. I came home one afternoon and he was in my platforms, literally like practicing in them. And I just thought it was the hottest thing ever. And he just wanted to make sure he had the walk, you know, when he was out on a night out.
Fair enough.
Well, if you look through history, it used to be men that were the dandies. Like, yeah. It was men, the first heels that were worn by men. Men would wear makeup and wigs, you know, kind of their clothes were kind of very flamboyant, whereas women sort of dressed more. So, I mean, no, it's just a cyclical fashion thing. I mean, one of the interesting sort of things about feminism is I was talking to Tim Minchin, the amazing musician who wrote Matilda. We were having a big coffee. He loved it. He's a massive feminist, and we got on the red wines, and he was going, the thing I love about feminism is what it will mean to men, because if women are turning into something else, women have all these other, you know, women can do so much more than we did before. We're turning into something else. We're progressing. We've got all these new options. He's like, for me, the key, the next thing that you think is like, well, what can men now turn into? Now that all these things are freeing up, if women are turning into something else, this allows men to turn into something else as well. We can all keep evolving together. It doesn't just mean that women are going to take over and men stay as they are. This is an amazing opportunity for men to change. And there are so many. The thing about equality is that it's about equality.
Yeah.
You know, every time you know every feminist is saving a man as well as a woman. The problems that men have that are gender based about not being able to talk about their feelings and emotion, the suicide rate being through the roof, they don't automatically get custodies of their kids. Those are problems of gender, in the same way that for women, the problems of gender are rape and sexual harassment and not being paid equally.
Absolutely.
So you know, it's all equality. Is about all of us.
It's
just women. Women are, at the moment, are doing most of the work talking about gender, which seems is another thing we've got on our to-do list. Thanks.
Yeah. So one day they can fight for their power for lipstick, and I support them.
I'm gonna. I don't want to like put you on the spot, but as a boy sitting here, I mean, obviously it's predominantly female who've come up to the top deck. Like, what does that make you think? Does it make you feel excited or?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. It's an exciting time for human race, rather than obviously movements in feminism are amazing at the minute. I mean, I was reading this morning about gender fluidity in the fashion industry and how that's becoming a big thing. And actually, question for Sally: do you see the beauty industry maybe marketing more towards gender fluidity in the near future, or do you think we're still quite far away from that?
Yeah, we are seeing that. So obviously MAC signed Caitlyn Jenner, which I actually can't stand Caitlyn Jenner, and I'm prepared to say that actually live. But nonetheless, as a move, that was an incredibly powerful one. Elon Musk have done lots with transgender people and also separately drag queens and so on. And I do think, you know, my kids don't have the same view of gender as we did when we were kids. You know, I'm in my 40s. I do think it's a much more elastic, kind of fluid thing now. And that's quite exciting, I think, especially if it allows kids who in my day would have been very other, bullied, sad, isolated, to feel just part of the human race is a really good thing. And I definitely think beauty is reflecting that. We're seeing models as well. We're seeing transgender models coming through. Our friend Caitlin and I know this woman called Juno Dawson. She's doing loads and loads and loads of stuff with young people that I think is really, really interesting. She did write as a man. Now she's transitioned to a woman. And she does amazing stuff. And she's done some beauty industry stuff as well, and some consultancy. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I think it's only going to become more and more fluid, and in a much more chill way, I think. I feel like we've gone through some rage over the past few years, and then now it's a bit, maybe, I hope, it's turning a bit more into love.
But also rage is powerful, yeah. You know, rage spurs you on. It's fine to be angry, as long as you're also looking for answers as you're moaning. I think it's fine to be really angry, because that's what propels you, isn't it? That's what propels change.
Any other questions? Any thoughts? Any responses? Are you going to be thinking differently about beauty? I am.
I like your mermaid leggings very much. And also your iridescent glitter. I'm into it.
It's like you've got scales underneath your eyes, like beautiful purple mermaid fish scales under your eyes and also on your legs. It's a very strong look. It's very strong mermaid.
It doesn't really work for audio, sorry.
It's been described beautifully. It is like looking at a shimmering sea. It really is. You look wonderful. It's very Team Open.
And of course, it's a fishtail plait that you have as well. So you've literally themed the hair fishtail plait. It's just fish all over.
It's interesting, like what Caitlin was saying about becoming a puffin. And it's true, like I feel really lucky to have travelled a lot in my life. And like going to Africa or Costa Rica or just far flung places, I start to sort of feel like I need to look like nature rather than like Rihanna. I mean, sometimes I try both, but what sort of inspires you when you're sort of playing and dressing up and getting ready?
I think as I've got a little bit older, it was about finding I don't have to do what they want to do. I want to do it. And your book actually made quite a big difference. I read it last year and I was sort of coming and bumbling along to these conclusions about...
She pointed at Caitlin, by the way. There's a lot of books that have been written among...
Sorry, the three is... Yeah, sorry. Pointing on the radio. You coming along to these conclusions yourself, where I think actually if I want to wear that, then maybe I'll just wear that. And then I read your book and I was like, see... I knew it. I think if I want to put glitter on my face, I'm going to put glitter on my face. And if I want to wear shoulder pads, then I'm going to wear shoulder pads.
I mean, always wear shoulder pads.
Also, I don't really like being cold, so it's about being glittery and colory and not cold. And they're my two favourite things. Yeah.
That is a political thing, to be comfortable. You know, kind of like I always say to my girls, they used to be really angry when I said they come down in an outfit and they go, Mum, what do you think? And I said, you look jolly and comfortable. And at the beginning, they hated those two words. But to look like a jolly person who looks like they're having fun, is delighted by their life and the people they meet and is going to bring delight to other people, and to look comfortable, you know, to be able to run, to be able to dance, you know, to be able to sit down without worrying about flashing your pants, like kind of these are important things. Like your life is so limited if you're having to stand in a certain position, and being comfortable for a woman is a political act.
I mean, I always used to say when people asked me about my style when I first started my career, by that point I'd like had the weirdest wardrobe. I mean, I still do, but it was partly because I was poor and a drama student who would just go to the charity shop in Loughton on the end of the Central Line in Essex. There was nothing else to do on a Saturday, and buy the weirdest like ski jacket because it was something to do. And then sometimes I'd get egged on the street by like sort of a more stereotypical Essex Fiesta driving man. But you know, after a while, and without thinking about it too much in a political sense, I just was like, I like making people laugh when I put outfits on, and I like challenging people when they look at me, you know, thinking that they can sort of work out who I am, when you can really mess with that. Like, that became part of my fun,
yeah,
really.
Thank you very much. Egg yolk is very much my vibe. It's a very beautiful colour on me.
It is so weird as well, like, how far it's gone with, like, just trying to diss people for the way that they dress. So I hosted the BBC Music Awards last year with Fern Cotton and Claudia Winkleman, who are obviously very well-known kind of stalwarts, they're household names, everybody loves them, they're awesome. And then I'm like always meant to be the wild card, even though I've been a broadcaster for 8 years. And first of all, I had to bring two outfits and do a camera test, like as instructed, just to check in. And I wore a velvet suit, which was like had a sort of smoking jacket tie around the middle. And I had a really lovely evening and I like went to bed on a high. I was like, I think I've done an okay job. I interviewed Robbie Williams, asked him about his chest hair. It's been cool. I did what I needed to do. And I was happy with my outfit. And then I saw a tweet before I went to sleep, and like someone from the Daily Mirror had put me in like the failed list. And then I was like, okay, fine. I've been in the failed list before. Like, that's all right. And then I just was like, I wonder what the comment is. And it was basically like, Gemma gets it wrong in a smoking jacket. It's like, you're not even dissing me. Like, it's so unsophisticated. Like, you haven't even come up with a creative way of saying why I've got it wrong. You're simply stating what I'm wearing. This is lame. Like,
also, I'm not really looking to the Daily Mirror for fashion expertise. It's like, I'm not really picking up my style tips from the Mirror, are you?
I
mean,
that was what I loved about when Sarah Millican went to the BAFTAs 2 years ago, and she wore a lovely floral dress, and she got slagged off everywhere for it. And she wrote a really beautiful piece, just kind of going, I really liked the dress. I don't understand why everyone slagged me off. And then the next year, she wore the dress again.
Yeah.
As a political statement, just like, I like this dress. And apparently at one point she was like kind of talking to like everybody else she knew who was going there and saying, why didn't you all get the dress as well? If we all do the red carpet in this dress, they set up, that would be awesome.
Like, it's so weird how it indoctrinates us like slowly, because like my ex-boyfriend's mum was like, oh, Gemma, we saw you on the telly. She's like, your outfit wasn't very flattering, was it? And I, but it was like the newspaper talk. Like, yeah. It wasn't even her. She was kind of sort of being nice, but it's just like how this becomes your patter, you know? Like, even though the newspaper didn't even say that, it was alluding to that.
That's why, oddly, one of the most feminist things I've ever seen was in the first series of Miranda Hart's sitcom Miranda, and there's that scene where there's a kind of Trini and Susanna like makeover, and you know, where they would run up to people and go kind of like, you know, you look terrible, we're going to give you a makeover. So she ran up to someone in the street who was wearing a, you know, sort of like a pair of jogging bottoms, and went, "What do you think of your outfit?" And the woman went, "I like it." And Miranda went, "And are you comfortable?" And the woman said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, that's great, just carry on." And it was just like, you know, that's a mainstream sitcom that's going out to, like, you know, 10 million viewers. You know, for my 10-year-old daughter watching that, she took that as a big political slogan, just kind of, "Are you comfortable? Do you like it? Carry on." Because that's all there is to say about it. There is no other discourse. Like, that's it.
It's so much more simple than we expect, isn't it? Yeah. Oh my goodness, I was in the naked sauna earlier and I didn't get naked. There is a really secret area of Glastonbury called the Lost Horizons, and it's actually not in the programmes. It's not far from here, it's near Stone Circle. My friends have got a gig in there. I managed to blag them a gig in there through mutual mates on Facebook.
Do they perform naked?
Well, no, they're wearing clothes, because there's like a sort of outdoor area where you can sit naked around a fire, or you can wear clothes and you can have lunch. It's lush, actually. But it was really interesting when we went in, because we're all quite liberal, but we were like, "Oh, this is different," you know? And it was a mixture. It wasn't all, you know, it was just like very relaxed. And then you just sort of, after about 2 minutes, like, everything is just completely normal.
Yeah, I think that's true, as time goes on. Although I did once go to a very posh hippie commune in California called Esalen. It's quite a famous place. And I went there with my former editor at The Face and his wife and my ex-husband. And I got there and realised everyone was naked. And it's like, my editor doesn't need to see me naked. I definitely don't need to see him naked. And I was a bit pregnant. It's like, oh. So I was,
recently, that day you got pregnant, like,
I just looked around and became pregnant. I was the person in the swimsuit, and I was like, "Oh, this is so awkward. Everybody's got no clothes on." And then Maggie Gyllenhaal walked in no clothes, like everything hanging out. And it's like, okay, I'm now definitely not taking my clothes off, because I'm standing next to naked Maggie Gyllenhaal. I'm not going to come out of this well. I'm just going to be hot over here in the shade.
We've our bathroom, I just keep not getting around to getting blinds for it, and there's a window right next to the toilet. I know. Whenever Sally's come over to stay, she's like, "I won't be using your bathroom." So there's huge windows, so if you're in the shower, if you're on the toilet, everybody across the street can see you. And I just don't care. I will walk around in the knack forever. It just absolutely doesn't bother me at all. But I have had several neighbours come and comment to me, just afterwards, just kind of like, "It's a fine view from the back window." But I'm just kind of like, I just think it's like putting on a show.
Well, that's the whole thing is what happened to me just in the Lost Horizons area, because it was just so relaxed, so non-sexual. And they say, you know, it's an area where there's a cafe, there's a sauna wigwam, there's a stage, you can sit by a fire, you can relax, you can sleep, there's a trampoline, there's everything. But it's like, it's you don't have to be naked, it's non-sexual, and you decide it. And I was in my Moschino swimsuit, like, I don't know if this is quite the right tone, but as soon as everybody just relaxes, like, bodies aren't even that sexual.
Trampoline, though, of all the things I'd want to do with no bra on, trampoline, I would have blinded myself within a second. Like, kind of, these babies would whack up, hit me in the eye. I'd be walking around with two black eyes. There's too much dangling going on for trampoline.
Yeah, no, it's not sexual. I don't care in a sexual context anyway. Like, I've never been somebody who's thought, "Oh, what? How big does my bum look if I'm having sex or whatever?" Because I think by then, he's winning. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I can't see any man going, "I'm leaving, you've got cellulite." There's no way any man in the world is going to go, "Hang on, you've got a dimple in your ass, I'm out."
I love that quote from Claudia Winkleman. She was saying, what attitude do you like most in a man? And she went, "Gratitude." And I kind of like, that's just, she was just like, "I just like a man who's actually grateful."
Saying, I think, it's not men who do this. Right? I have never gone out with a man who's picked holes in my body in that way. It's women do it to each other because we're made to feel this way. But I mean, by the time you're naked, a man has already decided he fancies you. Do you know what I mean? It's fine.
Anyone else got any questions? Because I feel like that is a lovely way to wrap it up, if not. That's amazing. And it's just so, like, nice, like, random music in the background, someone just, like, singing. Like, who knows what's going to happen with the sky next? It looks like it might tip it down.
I think it's going to piss down.
luckily we've got some bits undercover. Yeah, thank you so much, Catelyn and Sally. What a lovely impromptu.
Actually, I enjoyed being the bog off, and I'm now just going to take all my clothes off. That's what I've learned from today. I'm going to put on red lipstick and take my clothes off.
How can we, like, change this idea of a hierarchy that some one singular person is an expert, or one person has all the answers, or one person is better than the other? How can we make it so we are all engaging in a conversation?
I'm obsessed. I know Catelyn will say the same thing. I'm just obsessed with female friendships. They are so important to me. They're probably the most important thing to me, because they keep me sane. They put my head the right way around again. And we meet up regularly with Lauren Laverne, and when we get together, when I come home, my mental health is substantially better, isn't it? Because we just kind of reset the dials on each other. And I think that's it. Draw on the expertise and the wisdom of your girlfriends and support each other. You learn far more as a collective than you do as an individual.
And the key for getting your voice heard, it's one thing I've noticed, sort of like particularly in feminism, but across all campaigning, is your tone really matters.
Yeah.
You will be angry if you feel threatened. If you are a minority and you feel like you're not being represented, you will have an anger reaction because you're scared. But don't let that tone creep into your conversation when you're talking or writing or broadcasting, because people just pick up on the tone of your voice and they will come back at you with anger. And the best way to attract someone to your cause and, you know, to get more people on your gang and think the way that you are, is to just make it look like you're having the most fun. You know, that's what the beautiful thing about, you know, a life well lived will attract people and go, I would like to live like that. I agree with what you're saying. Just kind of, and that, what a lovely thing to know that the most important thing you can do is to just have a fantastic life, to enjoy yourself, to radiate joy. Walk into a room and go, I'm going to make this room slightly better.
That's why I'm here with Dandelion. That's exactly
that's
why.
Totally what you do. That's why I wanted to come.
And that's why the boom sunglasses are my friend in plastic.
We've got to have a picture. Will someone take a picture of this moment?
You know what? You do understand that I'm taking that.
I know.
But usually,
I know you are.
Yeah, you literally have to have. Yeah,
usually, you have to pretend that I don't know.
Yeah, usually my agent would negotiate a fee now, kind of retrospectively from having turned up. It's simply these sunglasses, and we'll say no more. We'll
manufacture them to take it in conversation. Thank you so much. I've got two lasting things. One of them is talking about looking around you is really important, because I learned that. I learned it because I love my friends too. I'm obsessed with them. They are my family. Everyone here are my best friends here. I was in Ethiopia and we had an amazing translator, and I got to go to rural villages where they were being kind of flipped on their head and like for the better, where people didn't have much money, but because women were becoming empowered to become part of like a proper sort of work business system and be beekeepers. Mm-hmm. So they were becoming sort of heads of trade and like therefore heads of their family, so they could be at home in these tiny little like amazing, beautiful, like way better than any like hashtag interior lifestyle, like get up, you know, and amazing, very kind of simplistic natural lives, except for not necessarily simplistic, because they were beekeepers, they were making honey, they were trading all around the world, they could be breastfeeding, making honey and selling it, and they were just absolutely awesome. And I kept asking them, like, who are your idols? Who do you look up to? Expecting someone to just give me that, like, ridiculous Radio 1 answer. I mean, it wasn't for Radio 1, but I think in my brain I wanted someone to say Beyonce, you know? And actually, yeah, and nobody would go that way. Like, we were all just, like, women. And the thing is that the most important thing to them was people around them. They would always mention, like, oh, blah blah in the village down the road, which might be from a completely different religion or a different tribe or, you know, a different crew of people, she like makes the best honey, or she started to trade to more places, and, you know, like she started a place where they can all get together as a community, you know, like just the people that their biggest inspirations were totally around them. And I just thought that's the way that we should always look, and not get a bit too Western about how we're looking up and we're choosing idols and getting like shaky and scary about like how we can be that person. Like, they're all like the best people are most likely to be around us. Like, I hope anyway.
You should definitely draw the good people around you and not feel threatened by them. Just think we'll all rub off on each other and raise the game, definitely.
And the hierarchy looks sideways, not up.
Yeah,
it's a really key thing.
And on that note, I do have to thank you, Catelyn, on behalf of like a lot of girls and women and people, actually. Yeah, you opened a gateway.
Yeah, look at her in the boom glasses.
In the boom glasses on top of Dandelion, which probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, to be fair. I'd be getting a makeup tent going, getting rinsed on Twitter. Thank you. Remember to rate and review us and to subscribe to Open Up. Share the love. Tell your mates about it too.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.